Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own. For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Let us pray. Our Father who art in heaven, Lord, we thank you for your word. Pray, Lord, that as we open your word tonight, Lord, that our hearts would be open and teachable. Pray, Lord, that you would help me, Lord, to say, Lord, what you've taught me, Lord. Pray, Lord, that I would not be a hindrance, Lord, to your word. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. What know ye not that your body is the temple of God, the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. There's two thoughts, if you can keep in your mind tonight, two things I want you to think about while I'm reading some of God's word to you. Firstly, the holiness of God. And secondly, do we glorify God in all that we do with our bodies and in thought? What do we glorify God with the time that we have, that God has given us? Turn with me to Romans chapter 12. Some of us will know this off by heart, Romans 12. And we'll read from verse 1 down to verse 3. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. So we see in verse 1 there, we are to present our bodies a living sacrifice, holy, that is, without spot or wrinkle, separated from all that is sinful or impure or morally imperfect, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. For we are bought with a price of our Heavenly Father's Son dying on the cross of Calvary. Philippians 1:20. If you want to turn there, you don't have to, but Philippians 1:20, according to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be life or by death. Whether it be by life or by death. Are we able to say that in nothing we are ashamed, or that we magnify Christ in our actions? Do we glorify God in our body? When we are on a computer or a phone, do we use it to the glory of God or to the flesh? Does our driving resemble that of a person that does not heed to authority or one that heeds to authority? Does our work ethic glorify God? Romans chapter 6, verse 12. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. People are good at finding loopholes when you put a rule in front of them, that people just like to find a loophole around it. How can I get around this rule or these things? There's no way around sin. Sin is sin. But it seems that Christians are happy and are busy these days living vicarious lives, living sinful lives through the lives of others, instead of physically yielding our members to sin. We sin through the thought that we know is wrong to do, living vicariously through someone else. And we've all done it. If you've watched a movie, you put yourself as the character, as one of the characters in the movie, and you become the character. Gamers, that's what they do. They become the character. And they're happy to go around killing people in games, living vicariously through a made-up character so that they can sin. Even through our friends on Facebook, living vicariously through their lives, through their sinful state. Would you sit down with Jesus and do these things with him? Play a video game with Jesus? Or watch a movie with Jesus? What would he say about you, or say about what you're doing with his time, the time that he's given you? Would he say that you're wasting his time, wasting the time that he's given you? If you wouldn't watch these things or do these things with Jesus, the answer is get rid of it. It's destroying your life. It's destroying your spiritual walk. And you need to look at the big picture. We need to look at the big picture in life and eternal things. Think of eternal things and the effect that what might seem little is not really little. As Chris preached on a few weeks ago, there's no such thing as a little sin. Turn with me to Romans chapter 8. I'm going to read from verse 5. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit of life is because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, if we are debtors not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. Sorry, let me read that again. Therefore, we are debtors not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. For if we live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of your body, ye shall live. Paul uses a fairly strong word there in that last line, mortify. Mortify the deeds of your body. The only way we can do that is through the Spirit. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of your body, ye shall live. Put to death the deeds of the body. Put to death the deeds of the flesh. Walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Jesus said in Luke 9:23, if any man come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. I think we tend to forget that it's a daily denial, and we tend to allow ourselves to have some time in the flesh. God calls us to be holy and set apart from the world. 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 15. But as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. All manner of conversation, all aspects of our lives must be holy. So let's think about the holiness of God for a minute. How do we describe the holiness of God? I struggled with this because how do you describe something that really no words can describe? The holiness of God. But Isaiah, we'll turn to Isaiah chapter 6. Isaiah saw the holiness of God and I'm sure it changed his life. So from verse 1, chapter 6, Isaiah. In the year that King Uzziah died, I also saw the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the posts of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then I said, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. We see here that the writer lifts up and reverence God. He gives him, shows the status of God in the first verse there. I saw the Lord sitting on a throne high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. In old days, you were measured in status by how much goods you had. And when you look at kings and queens, the length of their train. And we see here that he is high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. So Isaiah's giving reverence and giving the position that God deserves. We see also in verse 3, and one cried unto another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. the Jews used to use repetition to emphasize something. Jesus did it before he preached. He would say, truly, truly, or verily, verily. Amen, amen. And it's done here as well. Holy, holy, holy. Trying to emphasize the holiness of Christ, of God. Jesus teaches us when we're to pray in Matthew chapter 6 that we are to give God reverence and position in prayer. And he says in chapter 6, verse 9, after this manner, therefore, pray, ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. So we see that we putting him on his throne is in heaven, our Father which art in heaven, and hallowed be thy name, holy be thy name. Where he's acknowledging his holiness, the holiness of God. And Jesus sets out this example of prayer so that we can reverence God and give him the position and the due accolade that he deserves. So we must try to get a better understanding of God's holiness so that we can have a better understanding of sin. When Isaiah saw the Lord, he said, woe is me, for I am undone. I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Isaiah's life changed right then. He had a clearer picture of God, of God's holiness. He had a clearer picture of sin and his sin before God. He had a clearer picture of sin and a clearer picture of God. Are we wasting our time with vicariously living through other people or things? Wasting time instead of learning more about God and his holiness. Taking the time to learn more about God. Taking the time to find out more about the sin that we're in. 2 Timothy says in chapter 2, verse 15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. We're to show ourselves approved under God, not to anyone else. Show ourselves approved to God. Do we show ourselves approved to God? When Moses had seen the back part of God in Exodus chapter 3, his face shone from the glory of God and from the holiness of God. And when he came down, Aaron and all the children of Israel were afraid to come nigh unto Moses because of his face was shining so exceedingly bright. So how do we explain the holiness of God? I don't know how to describe it to you, but I don't think anything I can say will do it justice. But God's word will do it justice. We need to emphasize the holiness of God and emphasize the sin in our lives for what it really is. After Isaiah had seen the Lord, later in the book of Isaiah, we read that he writes, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own, for ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, that you are in heaven. We thank you that you are our Heavenly Father. Thank you, Lord, that you are holy. Lord, we pray, Lord, that you would help us, Lord, to search the Scriptures, Lord, and to study the Scriptures to show ourselves approved unto you, Lord. Lord, that we might have a clearer picture of your holiness and a clearer picture of our sin, Lord. Lord, we just pray, Lord, that you would help us, Lord, to magnify the name of Christ through our lives. Lord, that our bodies would glorify your name. And Lord, we ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen.